Guy Leach of SA Flyer magazine and Flight SA 9053. Guy, good afternoon. This is a story which has had a little bit of media play since the flight of this plane from Accra in Ghana. But it hasn't, you know, it hasn't sort of been a major talking point. And certainly reading your article on the Daily Maverick earlier today, perhaps it should have been more of a talking point.
Yeah, hi, John. Nice to be with you. I think that your observation is entirely correct. I have a sort of sneaking suspicion that the whole of South Africa is kind of getting a bit fatigued about SAA and just hearing the endless stories of bad news, whether it be about the Dakota Consortium deal or whatever else it may be. In this case, compromised safety standards. But there certainly is yet another very worrying incident in terms of what should be routine flight operations.
Tell the listeners the stories, those that haven't come across reporting on it.
Yeah, okay. Well, very basically, this was a routine flight between Johannesburg and Accra. And when they refueled the Airbus A330 in Accra, they refueled it with there was a whole lot of water contamination in the fuel. What wasn't mentioned in my story was that a new fuel supplier had just been appointed, which also raises all sorts of questions about that particular little deal. But be that as it may, the aircraft, when they came to start the aircraft, it wouldn't start because there was so much water in the fuel. That grounded the aircraft for 16 and a half hours, which is what it took them to decide that they'd taken enough water out of the fuel. But obviously, they weren't confident of that fact because then they got an authority to ferry the flight back to the aircraft back to Johannesburg, which is why the flight has this 9 prefix. It should have been flight 09053. It became 9053 to indicate it was a non-passenger carrying ferry flight to take the aircraft back for maintenance, to purge the fuel systems, fix the fuel pumps, all that sort of stuff. And yet they loaded up a load of passengers. And that's the extraordinary part about this whole story. Then, of course, not unexpectedly, the aircraft ran into problems over the middle of the Kalahari Desert as the water got into the engines, damaged the fuel pumps, and the engines began to surge, and one of them rolled back to idle. And so they literally had to limp into Johannesburg on just one engine.
But it wasn't SAA's fault that they were half filled with water.
No, it wasn't SAA's fault, and in fact, SAA or somebody should be commended for actually having identified the water in the fuel at the first place. But it was very much SAA's fault that what should have been a ferry flight with nothing more than essential crew got loaded up with passengers and cargo and what have you, and 25 crew. They had a double crew in terms of both pilots and a cabin crew, and they loaded them all back up into this aircraft, which was evidently unsafe to be flown.
Should they have known at that stage that it was unsafe to fly, or might they have been reassured by whoever's in charge of operations at Accra Airport to say, no, it's been sorted, you now have fuel and fuel only in your tanks?
Well, ultimately, there's an engineer on the ground who has to be able to certify this and sign it off. What pressures he was under to do so, we don't know, but the fact of the matter is that they weren't absolutely satisfied that the aircraft was safe to fly, which is why they assigned it a ferry flight number back to Johannesburg. And so they couldn't be 100% confident that they've got the water out, and indeed they hadn't. I was told a figure, I don't know, it's only a single source number, that when it got back to Johannesburg, there were still 400 litres of water in the tanks. So clearly they didn't manage to get all the fuel out. In fact, it took them over a month to get the aircraft back into service after this particular incident. So clearly the damage was quite deep.
So the big question to ask and have answered then, Guy, is why what should have been a ferry flight and which was declared a ferry flight was turned into a passenger flight? Who was responsible for that decision?
Well, that's the nub of my article where I'm saying that standards are clearly slipping here. There are compromises being made. Just the cost of this disaster in terms of having to ferry up another aircraft to fetch everybody back, you know, runs into the millions of rands. It seems to me that SAA is in such a tight financial spot at this stage, with the whole Harris Strategic Equity Partnership still hanging in the balance and being perhaps a year away from finalization, that they are looking to cut corners financially where wherever they can. Somebody took the decision to just load up the packs and bring them home, taking a chance with it. It's a chance that didn't pay off. The other alarming aspects about it, or it seems that there was a cover-up. In the end, this incident stayed buried until actually the Ghanaian authorities reported it to the Civil Aviation Authority.
And you make mention in your article of the fact that the plane was being flown, or the pilot in charge was the same pilot who was in charge of the plane that went across to Europe to get vaccines and had a huge problem, suggesting that perhaps the man's not fit to be at the controls, to be sort of lead pilot at the controls of an Airbus. But couldn't one say that when the water in the fuel started to impact the performance of the plane, that he then flew it quite professionally back to land?
Oh, undoubtedly. I don't think one can fault his piloting in this particular instance. There's been a strong argument proposed that they should have diverted to the nearest airport, suitable airport once the fuel problem had arisen, and that would have been Gaborone. However, Gaborone had a thunderstorm parked over it that night. But the reality is that the captain, and he was the captain, is always the ultimate person responsible for the safety of the flight. The captain should have refused to take passengers on this particular flight, and this is kind of two serious strikes. The so-called alpha floor incident of the Brussels flight was again a flagrant sort of disregard of a basic piloting error in terms of loading data initially, and then a disregard of what's called just common decency standards in terms of flying out of Brussels and busting speed and noise limits out of there. So there's sort of, in a sense, an element of not being good at adhering to standards anyway, and yet he was appointed the chief pilot, and now he's been appointed the head of training, which is the head of standards. So the concern we have here is not his ability per se, but the positions he's been thrust into, which from his track record would seem to be unsuitable for his performance.
Guy Leach, editor of SA Flyer magazine, thank you very much.